Blog Talk Radio.
Making my own dreams come true, one happily ever after at a time.
Hi, and welcome back to Books with Becky. Today's guest is the author of The Cold Hearth, Garth Peterson. Garth? Hello, Garth?
Hello. Hello, Becky.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, you're welcome. You can hear me okay?
So, I can hear you good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Where are you again?
I am in Philadelphia.
Oh, are you?
I am. Oh, isn't it funny how certain cities, people from certain cities, like, say, for instance, Baltimore or Philadelphia, they automatically assume everybody knows that's in Pennsylvania. Like, we don't think it's necessary to state, you know, where really we are. We just name our city and expect the world to know.
Exactly, yes. I knew that, though.
And where are you located?
I'm in a town called Chilliwack, which is about an hour and a quarter from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh, wow, okay.
3 hours from
and
Seattle.
Is it hot up there yet?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a cloudy day today, but I know people in the States always think, you know, you cross the border and it's like instant winter, but that's not the case.
No?
No, it's lovely, lovely.
You're ready to say something about
lovely weather.
Have you seen Finding Nemo?
Yes.
Okay, so there's this scene with the sharks where they were just like, oh yeah, they're probably Americans, you know.
Well, it is a funny thing that living in Canada, I mean, we're so closely tied to the U.S. that so much of our news is in relation to the U.S., but it's not the same for you. You know, you don't hear Canadian news. You don't. Everything's more focused towards the States. So, so it's like we're sitting up here watching you with binoculars all the time.
It's the America show. I bet that, you know, especially recently, I imagine it's kind of almost like watching reality TV. Like, well,
yes.
Let's see what's going on in America now.
I know. Yes, it's entertaining. Let's put it that way. That's putting a positive spin on
things. I imagine it is.
Mm-hmm. So, are we going to talk about writing or?
Yes. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. Why don't you tell us, like, your recent? Now, I'm not sure if The Cold Hearth is your latest or your upcoming release.
Oh, it's my latest. It was released towards the end of April. And it's the third book in my. Yeah, it's new. I'm still calling it a new release.
I would.
Yeah, sure.
And it's the third in the series.
Third in the series. It's set in the Middle Ages, the beginning of the 11th century in England. And my protagonist is the second son of the king, who is King Canute, a Viking king. And historical, very also known as Canute the Great, and he had he was the ruler of England, Denmark, parts of Norway, Sweden. I mean, it was a whole northern empire at that time. So my protagonist is his second son, who is really has no interest in the throne, but has plenty of enemies who want to make sure that he never becomes king.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the third book, he and his wife are trying to settle in the Midlands of England, and they've taken over an old abandoned hall and farm, and he's renovating and rebuilding it. And things start to happen where he learns that somebody's tried to kill his brother, a brother who he hates, and that all the sons of the king are... Somebody's trying to kill him. So here he is trying to set a whole life where he's not involved in court intrigues or anything like that. And it looks like the world he's trying to escape is closing in on him.
Now,
how
historically accurate is, well, no, that's not a good way to put it. So this is fiction.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So my main character is an historical figure, and many of the characters in the book are historical figures. Lady Godiva's there, and she was an historical figure. And
I love her chocolates.
I love her horse riding skills. But little is known about my protagonist, Harold. He's an historical figure, but the history of the time was written by his enemies who made him out to be a bad guy. And I don't think that's true, and I don't imagine him that way. So historical characters, but I'm putting the spin on interpreting what they were like and their motivations.
It's a little bit
of a delay, isn't there, in the time zone?
I think there might be, yeah.
Yeah. I do a lot of research, and I try to be accurate in my details of the life at that time. So everything they're doing, how they're built, how he's rebuilding this longhouse, what materials he has, even the language. I do a lot of research on word origins, and I try to bring in old English forms of words, which I find really fascinating, how the language has evolved. So I try to keep it accurate in terms of the setting and the language and everything in it, the beliefs. Yeah, I spend a lot of time with research.
It sounds it. It kind of reminds me a little bit, and I don't know what your opinions are about this particular movie, but kind of like a Titanic, where the story arc that's moving the fictional characters along is actually based on something that really happened.
Right. Yeah, that's a good parallel, because yeah, they were quite accurate in the people below decks in steerage and that whole thing, and the class conflict there and everything. Yeah. So good comparison, I guess.
Now, when I wrote my Fated series, I don't remember exactly why, but I decided to place it out in the middle of Minnesota. And I have never traveled further west than Ohio in my life.
Mm.
And I had to do so much, like, bizarre research about weather patterns. So if I said it was snow, if I said there were mudslides in April, I was accurate. Like, I cannot – and that was just for something that was happening in real time because I've never been to that part of the country. I cannot imagine the amount of research that has to go in to making something that you've done, where it's how many hundreds of years ago, and you're trying to make it as accurate as possible, where I drove myself crazy looking at weather charts for Minnesota.
Yeah, it's
got to take a lot of dedication.
Yeah, but it's an interest of mine. Yeah, I have a degree in history, and I find history fascinating. And I have sort of Viking heritage too, so that kind of helps. But no, it is interesting, because even if they're eating, you know, or even they're riding down the road and the trees are in blossom, I've got to figure out, okay, what trees, you know, what foods,
what type,
you know,
of eating
foods.
Utensils. Yeah,
exactly. Are they doing dishes? Not much. You know, how about bathing? I read a very, very interesting book called it was called Holy Shit, A History of Swearing. And
oh, that's cool.
Really, it's very interesting. Cause like, what were the swear words in 1027? You know, like what were considered oaths? Well, in that time, there wasn't a lot of privacy, so body parts and things weren't obscene. You know, physical processes were not as private, so they were not obscene. What was considered swearing was making an oath against using the Lord's name in vain, basically, right?
So oh, okay.
It becomes really interesting. Like, just I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but anyways.
No, it's very interesting. It is, and it's something people wouldn't necessarily think of. The writer had to actually research the appropriate swear words for the time or bathroom habits.
Exactly. Or things like lovemaking, when you don't have a lot of privacy, then that doesn't, it's not as private an act, you know, like children and other people living in a hall are hearing what's going on, or, you know, it really changes the whole culture. It's a different culture, different time.
You didn't just, you know, write a series of interesting books, but you've actually learned about an entire historical culture, as you said, culture.
Yeah. And it's also a time of cross cultures, because you've got the Saxons, who are basically Germans living in England. And then you've got the Danes coming in, the Vikings. So you got the Danish language and the Danish culture mixing with the German. And this is all like 30, 40 years before the Normans invade and take over England. And they speak French. So, you know, it's really an interesting time across cultures.
I think that was I think my cheek accidentally hit a button on the phone. My apologies.
That's all right.
It sounds really good, and your enthusiasm for the subject really comes through when you talk about it.
Well, good. Do you ever find that when you've written a novel that and you finish, that you kind of miss the characters or you miss the world that you've created?
I do, and in fact, that's kind of like the original, the first in the Faded series was never intended to be a series. I'd only intended to write the one book, and I had missed the characters so much that it ended up becoming four.
Right. That's an amazing thing, you know. I mean, as writers, readers, it's the same way with readers, right? You read something and you just love being there and you want to read the next in the series or something. So, but writers, it's even more intense because you're creating, or I don't know how you are, but I find that the characters make the decisions as I'm writing, you know,
definitely. Yeah. I had actually said to somebody, and I was like, that was one of the most difficult characters I've ever engaged. And she's like, engaged? And she was like, you wrote her. And I was like, yeah, but I think it's something that's very difficult for people who aren't writers to understand. It makes us sound a little nutty to people that don't. a good nutty, but yeah, a little nutty.
A good nutty, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we are down to less than a minute. So I want to make sure that I get a chance, and it cuts us off, so I want to make sure I get a chance to thank you. It's very quick, for chatting with me today, and we're at the 10-second mark.
Okay, thank you, Becky.
Thank you so much, and I hope there's information and links that'll be attached to the recording for anybody that wants to learn more about Garth and the Cold Hearth.